Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving 1025, 1063. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live thanks to Superbook Sports. Live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Today we are live at the Rusty Nail out here in Hermitage. I'm actually going to tell you something. I did not know about the Rusty Nail until we came here today. This, because I'm a Percy Priest Lake kind of guy, this is going to be like the pre and post boat spot this summer. This place is awesome. Out here at the Rusty Nail, come on by and enjoy St. Patrick's Day with a $3 two-lane beer drafts while taking in the opening round of the tournament. That's right, we got basketball on during their St. Patrick's Day celebration. The Rusty Nail is located in Hermitage and provides a great local atmosphere with a large outdoor patio, volleyball courts, and more, plus great drinks and great food, especially the wings. Call now to reserve your private events and corporate parties. So, Fireball Hot Take Friday. My hot take today, Mike Lombardi on the GM shuffle, former NFL general manager. I like Lombardi. Lombardi came out and said that the Titans were trying to get Kevin Byard to take a pay cut. Now, the way this normally works in the NFL is if you take a pay cut, then you'll stay on the team. If you don't take a pay cut, chances are you're probably not going to stick on the team. Now, I didn't know if that was true or not. I don't know who Lombardi's sources within the Titans are or aren't. So I did some digging myself. And the same guy who told me John Robinson was getting fired about 20 minutes before it was announced that John Robinson was getting fired told me that Kevin Byard has requested a release from the team. Now, just because, again, according to my source, he requested a release from the team does not mean he's going to be released. If anything, I really think it calls the Titans bluff. It really says, fine, I'm not taking a pay cut. And if I do take a pay cut, I want more guaranteed money next year. And if the Titans say we're not going to do that, my source said the reason why Byard wanted his release is because the team would not engage in talking about an extension. My thing is, maybe Byard's just calling the team on their bluff. Are they really going to release Kevin Byard for nothing to save $6 million against the fake cap? I can't buy that. And I don't buy that. Now, let me just say this. If I was running the Titans, and it's always easy to say if I was in charge or if I was, and I understand that. But if I was running the Titans, and I had somebody tell me, hey, we're going to release Kevin Byard, I need an explanation. I almost feel like as a Titans fan, and I am somebody who has stuck with this team through thick and through thin, I love the Titans. And at the same time, I kind of hate the Titans for some of the crazy things that they do and some of the ways they make me feel, going back to the fifth grade. But if you're going to release Kevin Byard, I need an explanation. And it is not about his cap hit, because the cap is fake. There is no way that you're releasing Kevin Byard because of his cap hit when you're under the cap. And besides, how many guys under the cap? You would save $6 million on the cap if you released him. Now, it's different if you wait until June 1st, but that wouldn't make any sense either because you're just pushing that money into next year. So the only reason it would make sense for them to release Kevin Byard would be to save the $14 million in cash for this year. But with that $6 million of cap space, how many players are you really going to be able to get? And how many players with that extra $6 million are you going to get that are better than Kevin Byard, that are more impactful than Kevin Byard, that would mean more to your team than Kevin Byard? And I can't come up with any. You know, Jesse Bates just signed for $16 million a season. And normally the amount of money somebody signs for a season doesn't really matter, because it's, you know, always made to look better than it really is, and there's more fake money sometimes than there is real money. But it does matter here, because Byard's salary at $14 million, that's what this is about. That's why, reportedly, they asked him to take a pay cut. And good for Byard to look at the Titans and say, no. Good for Byard. And it's funny, because I've been reading some of your texts throughout the show, and I think a lot of you are on Byard's side. And to be honest with you, I kind of am too. again, if you release Kevin Byard, I need an explanation. I didn't need an explanation when you released Taylor Lewan. Taylor Lewan said you were going to release him. I didn't need an explanation when you released Robert Woods. I got it. He was making $16 million bucks. He was probably a $7 million player. And you can go get a Robert Woods or somebody comparable for less money on the market. Fine. When you got rid of Randy Bullock, made total sense to me. And the reason why it made total sense to me was because can't kick a 50-yard kick. I got that. But if you are going to release Kevin Byard, or if you are going to trade Kevin Byard, or you're going to move on from Kevin Byard, I need an explanation. Especially when I'm looking at the defense I think I'm looking at next season. I love this defense they have right now for next season. I love this pass rush. With Arden Key in there, with Harold Landry returning, I love what I'm looking at for next season. And you're going to take Kevin Byard out of it? And you're going to leave me with one safety? It's Amani Hooker, who got hurt all last year? So, like I said, all I know is what I've been told. And all I've been told is that Byard did, in fact, that they did, in fact, ask Kevin Byard to take a pay cut. And that Kevin Byard, again, the one thing I have a hard time understanding is why Byard would ask for an extension when he's got 2 years left on his deal. But I'm wondering if the word extension just meant Byard wanted more guaranteed money into next season. And I, you want me to take less money, you got to give me something. You got to have some leverage. And the leverage the team normally has is, well, we'll release you. So you're scheduled to make $14 million. We want you to make $9 million. We want you to make $10 million. And if not, we'll release you. And good luck to see if you can go get that $9, $10 million on the market. And very rarely is the player actually worth what that guy would make. But I think Byard would actually get real money on the market. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But I think Byard would actually get real money on the market. So I think Byard has leverage to tell the Titans, fine. Tell your fans that you released me because of my cap hit. Nobody will believe it. But tell everybody you released me because of the cap hit. We'll see. We'll see what happens. 615-737-1025. Philip has been waiting patiently. He's up next. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Philip, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Jerry? So this is my issue with this all, and it's been very frustrating with the Henry talk and now the Byard talk and then the Simmons not getting paid yet. Like, first of all, who are we paying? We're not paying anybody on the team. The next issue is I could see if Byard and Henry and they were on the decline, but they're still living, in my opinion, they're still living up to their contracts. They haven't showed a decline at all in their talent. Now, Henry might look a step slower, but he hadn't showed a big decline like Eddie George showed a decline. Mm-hmm. So I don't see the point of that. Now, if they were showing the decline, I could see that. And then on top of that, if we had somebody to replace them, we already got holes. But if we let these players go, if you had a younger guy behind them, I could see the issue like with Casey. We had Simmons coming behind him. Okay, I understood that. Sure. But if we let Byard go, who's replacing? That just builds another hole that we got to plug somebody into. If we let Henry go, that builds another hole. So I don't understand that aspect of it if these reports are true. I hang up and listen. Thank you.
Philip, that was a wonderful call. And normally, somebody's got, 3 or 4 points. Their first point's usually pretty good. And then when they get to point three, it's not as good as point one. And I wish they'd go back to the points he made. Who are the Titans paying? Tannehill's making $27 million in cash this year. That's it. Geno Smith is making more money in cash, I believe, this season. Derek Carr, who is not as good as Tannehill. We crunched the numbers. He's not as good as Tannehill. Derek Carr is making more money in cash than Tannehill. So you're not really paying the quarterback. The cap number might be higher than average, but you're not paying him a boatload. You're not paying him all that kind of money. Lamar Jackson on this quote-unquote disrespectful franchise tag is making more money than Tannehill. Daniel Jones is getting way more money than Tannehill. So you're paying Henry $10 million. Jesse Bates makes $16 million now in Atlanta. Jonnu Smith makes somewhere around 11 or 13 or 14 million, whatever it may be. You're telling me those guys are worth more money than Derrick Henry? You know that's not true. So who are you paying? You paying your left tackle? No. Don't have a left guard. You're not paying your center. You're not paying your right guard. You let him walk in free agency. You're not paying your right tackle. He's a rookie. You're paying Landry. You're paying Byard. That's it. I mean, you're not paying your punter because he's a rookie. You're not paying. I agree with the first point. Who you paying? Like this, oh, we got to save money. For who? Like that, I agree with. Byard and Henry living up to the contracts, I agree with. And I agree with the final point he made, too. That was an excellent call. And I agree with the final point that if you had somebody to replace them, then I'd understand it a little bit better, at least. You know, I understood when they moved off of DeMarco Murray because they had Derrick Henry. Like, I got that. But if your option is Amani Hooker and then re-signing Andrew Adams, and that's what you're going to do to make up for Kevin Byard, what? No. So, I don't know. All I can tell you is what I've been told. 615-737-1025 on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Corey Curtis News 2, his reaction to what we're hearing about Kevin Byard. We'll do that coming up next. FanDuel Sportsbook is my official sportsbook app. This March, take your first shot at college hoops with FanDuel Sportsbook and get 10 times your first bet amount in bonus bets. That's right, up to $200. Just bet $20 on the bracket and you'll land $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. That's $200 you can spend betting everything from the money line to point spreads to the 5 versus 12 matchups today. All on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. There's no better place to bet the tournament than FanDuel Sportsbook. Hey, how about Duke? Remember Joe came on here and said, oh, Oral Roberts might beat Duke. Uh-huh. Duke crushed him. Now I've been telling you about Duke for the last week. I'm a Duke believer. Sign up today by going to FanDuel.com/JGM and make every moment more with FanDuel during the tournament. 21 and older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager. Only $10 deposit required. Refund issue is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
And Jesse Bates is a good player. But to me, I think when, you know, Byard, the kid at Tennessee, right? Kevin Byard, he's really a good player. They're trying to get him to take a pay cut. So when I sign Bates, if he doesn't take a pay cut, they're going to cut him. So if I sign Bates, do I go after, I would rather have Byard than Bates. I think he's really a good player. So you got to kind of play that around a little bit. You got to wait.
Oh, Kevin Byard. Wow, that's an interesting one because, yeah, he's a former All-Pro. He's a really good player,
but they're trying to get him to take a pay cut. He doesn't want to do it. Now, you know, this is where the rubber meets the road. Who's, you know, are they bluffing? Are they not bluffing? You know? Yeah. I mean, they got cap issues. I mean, that team's in a mess.
There you go. That was Mike Lombardi on the GM Shuffle, and I followed up. You know, I went in. I said, okay, is this true or not? Because, again, Lombardi's got sources, but I don't know what his sources with the Titans are. So I wanted to see whether or not Lombardi was, you know, I talked to my sources. They told me Kevin Byard has requested a release from the team. And I'm just, as I said, if I'm running the team, that is not on the table. Make of that what you will. And requesting a release does not mean we'll be released. At least not yet. Corey Curtis joins us. News 2, as always, we are live at the Rusty Nail here in Hermitage celebrating the second day of the tournament. Corey, let's start with that. The idea that the Titans, it was originally Derrick Henry shopping him last week. This week it's Byard and the Titans. What do you make of it?
Well, I know there's a lot of people who've said that Derrick Henry's the best player on the team, but there's only one guy on the team who's been an All-Pro 2 times. And then what else does Mike Vrabel stress about Kevin Byard when the season is over? He never misses a game. I don't think he's missed a game in 7 years. I mean, the guy has value because he's an outstanding player, and he's there every week. He's outstanding in the community. He's outstanding in the locker room. He's outstanding in every area. You know, you can say he's a safety. How many games is he good for? I can go back last year to the Dallas game. He's the only reason you're in the game. Go back to the Rams game 2 years ago. He wins that game. The game in Indianapolis, he wins that game. I mean, that's a guy who makes plays to win games for this team. He bona fide makes this team better. And I understand you're in a cap situation. Even though I know you say the cap doesn't matter, but with I would go elsewhere for before you know for money before I ask that guy to take a pay cut because he's done everything to earn every dime you have given him.
You know, I said this to Caroline when I said that I was told that Byard's requested his release. This is what I think happened, Corey. I think the Titans went to Byard and said, we'd like you to take a pay cut. And Byard said, well, if I'm going to take a pay cut, you got to guarantee me some money next year. They said no, and he said, well, then release me. You know, almost calling them on the bluff. You know, hey, you know, screw you if you're going to try. I think if that's what happened, Corey, I'm on Kevin Byard's side.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, like I said, he's you could very well argue the best player on the team. He has done everything you ever asked for him as a player. Now, you've got a lot of money sunk into the safety position because you paid Amani Hooker. But, you know, that's not Kevin Byard's fault. That was the previous GM who did that. And, you know, you can't ask Byard to fix all of your problems. And look, I know there's no loyalty. You know, with the way things are done. Mike Vrabel got traded to the Chiefs, you know, so he knows. He's been through it. But again, there are other areas where I think you could go get money rather than really dumping on a guy who's arguably your best player of the last decade and could be on your Titans Mount Rushmore.
Corey Curtis is our guest. One thing that I believe in my heart, I cannot imagine Mike Vrabel would be okay with releasing Kevin Byard. What do you think?
Yeah, like I said, he's there every week. He's prepared. He prepares mentally. He prepares physically. I don't know how releasing him makes you better. I really don't. They've already said goodbye to A.J. Brown and some other, you know, guys who are good players. I can't imagine, you know, just like people have said with Derrick Henry, I can't imagine releasing this one. And I can't imagine Mike Vrabel being okay with it either. But, you know, again, he's been through it. Maybe, you know, they've got a plan that we don't know. And, you know, maybe there's a method to this madness. But I just – maybe I'm too emotionally connected to Kevin Byard because – you know, coming from middle and, you know, the whole thing with him not going to the combine and seeing what a great player he's been. And, you know, it's just, it's kind of unfathomable to me. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Corey Curtis is our guest from News 2. What do you think ends up happening? Do you think Byard ends up taking a pay cut? Do you think Byard ends up getting released? Do you think Byard ends up getting traded? I mean, what if you had to say today what you think ends up happening, what do you think will happen?
Well, I asked Kevin in the locker room during locker cleanout day, was it important for him to finish his career here? He said, he went in depth at how important it was for him to finish a Tennessee Titan. So for him to, if he did ask for his release, he's got to be really upset. I mean, really upset. So I think cooler heads need to prevail, and they've got to find a way to figure things out. You know, they haven't made any cuts yet that are shockers. They've all been moves we've kind of expected to see. So this would qualify to me as a shocker because you're cutting away a guy who still has probably three more really good years in him and who's there for you every week. I would think you would try to find a way, if you want him to be a part of your football team, to let cooler heads prevail and work something out.
So I'm not one of these people who believes in the salary cap, but I do understand, like, you know, kind of the premise of it, right? I don't think the Titans are in as bad a cap problems as everybody makes them out to be. I mean, I really don't. You know, you play the year with Henry, you play the year with Tannehill, you play the year with Byard, and then after this year, you essentially have a clean slate. You know, in terms of dead money and everything else, I mean, I don't get, you know, it's not the Titans are $40 million over the cap right now. I mean, they're fine.
Well, I mean, they've got money pushed down the road, too. I mean, part of Tannehill's deal pushes money down the road. I think
Henry, so does Henry, you know, so does Byard.
Yeah, so they've all got money pushed down the road. And the question is, how much of that do you want to push down the road? I'm not a fan of these automatically voiding years it's like the whole Bobby Bonilla deal to me. I think it's bad for football. I think you need to run your business the way you run your business, and that's not inventing years to dump money in my estimation. So I think that can be a problem, you know, as you look to what you have to do. But you also have to look and say, what players do you need to extend? And right now they need to extend Jeffrey Simmons. They may end up wanting to extend a guy like Tyrese Tart down the road. You know, but after that, you know, how many other guys are you looking at saying, yeah, this guy is going to be a big money player in 2 or 3 years? You could, you know, question Traylon. You can question Christian Fulton. You can question, you know, Roger McCreary. You know, Chigakonko. You can say, well, these guys might. None of those guys are like, yeah, that guy's, you know, going to get a big second deal at this point. So they're not overloaded with guys that are going to demand huge second contracts, at least at this point in the next year or two.
Corey, what do you make of what they've done in free agency so far? We had a caller in the last segment, I thought hit it on the head, that was talking about how, you know, what we're hearing about shopping Henry and asking Beyer to take a pay cut and everything else, what we're hearing is going in one direction, and what they did in free agency feels like they're going in another direction. And I agree with that. I like what they've done in free agency. What do you think about it?
Well, I like that they – I don't think they've spent a lot of bad money. You know, they haven't gone out and just given ridiculous bad contracts to marginal players because they had to. They've filled some needs. They've gotten some players that obviously the new GM knows, and I think that can help them as well. You know, they've clearly got a plan for replacing some people. And, you know, obviously they've got a few more. But, you know, look, I know David Long was a good player, but David Long missed a lot of games. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's tough to count on guys, you know, as Mike Vrabel called them, that are repeat offenders, and you're constantly having to call up guys to replace them. And, you know, they appear to be moving on from a number of those guys. So I think it's been calculated, it's been planned, and I think it's been responsible. I think that would be the best way for me to put it.
Fireball Hot Take Friday, Corey Curtis, News 2 with us. What is your hot take?
Well, my hot take last week was that Vanderbilt was going to beat Kentucky and make the tournament. I have no sense of what you have to do to make the tournament anymore. None. And I know we go through this stuff every year, but, you know, how you play at the end should be important. And there's no way they weren't one of the 68 best teams in the country when the season ended. And I feel bad for a team that gave everything that it had, even after Liam Robbins went down. I really do. There's not often I feel sorry for Vanderbilt, because I think most of Vanderbilt's problems are self-created. I feel sorry for those kids because they deserve a spot in the field of 68. And I'm just, I really feel bad for them. I really do.
Well said, Corey Curtis. And you know me, I hammer Vanderbilt all the time.
They deserve it so much, but not this time. They deserve our pity.
This team, in my opinion, this Vanderbilt team belonged in the NCAA tournament. And when I watch these other teams play in this tournament, I mean, Vandy would kill some of these teams.
It's shocking to me that you looked at what they did the last 2 months of the season and said, yeah, we're not going to include them. They did lose to Grambling early in the year. And I know they did, and there's no way around it. But you have to look at some point and say, are they one of the best in the country at this point in the top 68? And there's no doubt that they are. And I know there's only so many at-large compared to automatics. I'm not total moron, just partially. But it just – I'm sure I could find five teams and say, put them in ahead of that.
Mm-hmm. Corey Curtis, News 2, as always, joining us on the program. Corey, great stuff as always. Appreciate your time. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, man.
Corey Curtis joining us on the program. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into your phones on this. We'll reset the news of the day. We are live from the Rusty Nail out here in Hermitage, hanging out, watching the tournament, everything else. Stillman and Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
Like I said, I firmly and I will always believe that when you look at everything as a whole, the way this roster was constructed, we have a lot of talent on this roster. Now, with that being said, I mean, who knows what's going to happen when a new GM comes in? Is he going to say, hey, let's run it back? Or he's going to you know, do what he does. And, you know, we kind of all know, being in this business long enough, what happens when a new GM comes in. So who knows? But I firmly believe in the guys that we've had here. You know, just wish things could have been a little bit different when it came to the injuries and stuff like that.
There you go. That was Kevin Byard. We are live from the Rusty Nail out here in Hermitage. That was Kevin Byard. I agree with him. I think if they hadn't had the injuries, I think if they didn't fire John Robinson the week of the Jacksonville game, I think the Tennessee Titans would have made the playoffs. Now, I know a lot of people don't believe that, and I know a lot of people also think, well, so what if they had made the playoffs, Jared? What would they have done? And I understand, and you're entitled to that opinion. But I agree with Kevin Byard there. LD from McMinnville texts in and says, what do you mean? Vrabel wouldn't be okay with cutting Kevin Byard. Aren't they collaborating? And I do believe this. Mike Vrabel, in my opinion, would not be okay with the Titans releasing Kevin Byard. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Mike Vrabel is not signing up to lose. That's just not who he is. What I know of Mike Vrabel, what's wired in his brain, the idea of, hey, we're not going to be able to go all in free agency, I think he can live with. What I don't think he can live with is, hey, we're purposely going to make our roster worse this year, and we're purposely not going to compete this year because we'd like to be better in future years. Not when his team is as good as they were at points of last season. I firmly believe that. I just don't think that Mike Vrabel could ever, as a lot of you people put it, I don't think Mike Vrabel could ever tank. And you are not a better team. I think we can all agree. Now, you know, whether or not Byard's worth $14 million, and I think he probably is, but just is, that's a different discussion. But you are a worse team today if you release Kevin Byard. You are a worse team. And I don't think Mike Vrabel's signing up for that. And if anything, I think Mike Vrabel's looking at it like, you did this to me last year. I told you, don't trade A.J. Brown. You traded A.J. Brown, and I was a worse team because of it. Now you're going to trade off Kevin Byard? Now you're going to release Kevin Byard? I don't think so. I think, if anything, this idea that Byard requested, you know, guaranteed money for next year and wants, you know, the Titans to, hey, I'll take a pay cut. And I don't know that Byard would take a pay cut. That I don't know. What I do know is I do know that Kevin Byard was asked to take a pay cut, what I was told. Byard was asked to take a pay cut. And then, after Byard was asked to take a pay cut, he approached the Titans about an extension, and the Titans weren't interested in talking about it. And the definition of extension, that may be different things to different people. My guess is, and I think this is just common sense, Byard wants guaranteed money for next year. If I'm going to take a pay cut, I want guaranteed money for next year. I'm just going to take a pay cut, and then you release me after this 1 year. Especially when I think I can still play. Especially when I think I still have some gas in the tank. Now, if you release me after free agency when all the money's spent, I'm not going to be able to make a lot of money. If you keep me on the team this year and we're not any good and I get released after this year, nobody's going to want me. I think I still have some gas in the tank. So that I understand. Texter asks, do I think the Titans are gearing up money for Lamar Jackson? No. I mean, we're sitting here talking about the idea that the Titans are shopping Derrick Henry to save money, that they're not spending any money in free agency. We still don't know how much real money they're actually giving Andre Dillard. That deal was signed on Monday, and we don't know how much real money they're giving Andre Dillard. We don't know how much real money they're giving Azeez Alshire. We don't know any of that. And you're going to ask me if the Titans are going to go out there and spend the money on Lamar Jackson. No shot. There are very few things in my life that I would be more surprised of than the Titans signing Lamar Jackson and giving up two first-round picks, including the 11th overall pick in the draft, in order to sign Lamar Jackson. No. Texter says, to me, it's one of two things. Either the Titans are borderline incompetent, or they are in a full rebuild and they just don't want to call it that. Shopping Henry won't pay Simmons, cutting the pay of Byard, no real significant activity in free agents so far. Am I missing something? And I think the one thing you're missing is that I do believe that the moves they've made in free agency are good moves. I mean, I don't think the Titans are pushing all their chips into the middle for this season. I don't think they're, quote-unquote, going for it. But if you were to take out all the gossip, and that includes the gossip from me, if you were to take all of that out and you were to say, okay, here are the moves the Titans have made. Bud Dupree, very rarely healthy. Bud Dupree out. Arden Key, 17 games each of the last two seasons, in. I'd say that's a good move. If you were to say Taylor Lewan, bad knee, expensive, out, Andre Dillard for pass protection, in. I'd say that's a good move. Now, I think they gave Tier Tart too much money, and I wouldn't start him at center. But Danny Brunskill, starting guard, good. I think it's a good move. David Long said, hey, we don't trust this hamstring. This hamstring's been hurt more than once. We don't trust it. We're not going to put our faith in David Long's hamstring, so we're going to sign Aziz Alshire. Fine. I'm okay with it. Like, I don't think those are bad moves. Now, again, the Derrick Henry thing, that was a report. Now, I think it's true, but that was a report. And I think there's a little bit difference between a report and what the Titans are, you know, quote-unquote, doing. And so, for me, I would say that, you know, when you say, okay, they're incompetent, that the moves they're making or reportedly have made, those moves are not incompetent. The idea of shopping Henry and thinking that wouldn't get out, you know, that, as I said last week, I thought that was a rookie mistake. And this Byard thing, I think this is a showdown. You know, when I was told Byard is requesting a release, I don't know if Byard truly wants to be released by the Titans. But I think it's kind of, oh, you want to cut my salary? Okay, well, let's go. And for that, if Byard's willing to go toe-to-toe with the team, I'm on Byard's side here. I think it would be fascinating to see what comes of that. 615-737-1025. Somebody texts into the text line and says, Andre Dillard's deal is supposedly $29 million. Right, that's the fake money. This is football. There is a difference between real money and fake money. The other sports, you sign a $28 million contract in baseball, you're making $28 million. You sign a $50 million a year deal in the NBA, you're making $50 million a year. Football, you sign a $25 million a year contract, and you end up making $13 million for the life of the contract, and it's not real. And it's never going to go back. That's the fight Lamar Jackson is fighting right now, is to get it back in that regard. Texter into the text line says, Jared, is it my opinion or is this whole situation about Kevin Byard just truly a desperate attempt to try to re-sign Jeffrey Simmons? You know, Derek said that to me when he was walking out today. I said to D. Mace before I went on the air, when he went off the air, I said to D. Mace, I go, what I've been told by the same person who told me John Robinson was getting fired 20 minutes before it was reported, what I was told was Kevin Byard's asked for a release from the team. And Derek said to me, he wasn't surprised by it, but Derek said to me, he goes, well, it's probably about the money for Simmons. But I struggle with that because when we talk about these bargain basement free agent contracts that the Titans are signing people to, and I'm for it, you know, again, I don't think that there's anybody in free agency that is going to directly alter the course of this franchise. But when I see these bargain basement deals, I factor in for the fact that they're probably going to spend $25 million plus dollars in cash this year for Jeffrey Simmons. But that still doesn't take them to anywhere near where they were in terms of cash spent last season. Right now, according to SpotTrack, and again, it's early in the game on this because the Titans haven't either done the physicals or officially signed the contracts with Andre Dillard and Aziz Alshire and Danny Brunskill and all those guys. But again, I can't imagine the Titans are paying those guys a lot of money. Right now, according to SpotTrack, the Titans are 32nd in the league in cash spent for next season. That's with Byard at $14 million. That's with Henry at $10.5 million. That's with Tannehill at $27 million in cash. So to me, that's a little different. Just a little different for me. That, hey, wait a minute, where's all the money being spent? That is tough on me. Texter into the text line says, in regards to Kevin Byard, Andrew says, I would much rather not have Henry than Byard. You know, people were doing this last week. I think, you know, Titans and Truth, Chris called in. And he said, you know, if I have to pick between Simmons and Henry, and I stopped them. I said, what do you mean you have to pick between? Who says you have to pick between Henry and Simmons? When did it become that way? This time last year, we were being told they were going to sign A.J. Brown to a contract. And we weren't just told it once. We were told almost every week they were going to sign A.J. Brown to a contract, including me asking the Titans the week before the draft if there was any chance they would trade A.J., and John Robinson said to me, I don't foresee it. So they must have budgeted out a contract for A.J. Brown. So they didn't pay A.J. Brown that money, and it's not like they signed any massive $100 million deals between now and then. So if you've got that money that you had lined up in your back pocket to give A.J. Brown, and you didn't give it to A.J. Brown, and now you can't pay everybody, that doesn't make any sense. What changed between then and now? And that I can't follow. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. One quick breather on the Byard news today. Coming up next, basketball and everybody's brackets. And everybody talking about their brackets. We went over this yesterday, but apparently not everybody's getting the message. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company right here, 1025, 1063 The Game.
David in Arkansas says, don't talk about your brackets per Jared Stillman. No one cares about your bracket, he says. I think he's wrong, though. I would argue that this week, talking about brackets, your bracket, et cetera, is acceptable.
Also, Jared brought his bracket to the broadcast yesterday, and it was laminated. So, No. He had it in like a sleeve and everything. So, we're going to talk about our brackets.
Oh, laminated. That's incredible.
First of all, that was an incorrect mischaracterization from Michelle Kuznetsovic, who's sitting right over there. I did not laminate anything. I have a pack of 1,000 sleeves. You just slide it right into the sleeve. It was just, I just put it there just because I, you know, we're at the Rusty Nail. Yesterday we were at Jasper's. I don't want anybody's food, anybody's beer. I don't want any of that getting on anything. But that's not important. What's important is people who talk about their brackets. I think everybody probably filled out a bracket. I mean, hell, I filled out a bracket. 12 o'clock, I sat there and I was like, you know what? I haven't filled out a bracket. I haven't joined any of these challenges. I haven't done any of these bracket kind of things or whatever, but I'll fill one out. And so I just started picking schools and everything. I don't know anything about these teams for the most part, you know, other than what I saw, you know, last week. Watching a couple of conference championship games. Like, I think Texas is pretty good. Why? Because I watched Texas play in the Big 12 championship, and I was like, hey, Texas is pretty good. Now, I tried to tell you all yesterday. I tried. And I said, do not tell anybody about your brackets. Do not be that person that tries to make small talk by going up and saying, hey, how's your bracket doing? Or even worse, talking about your own bracket. Saying, oh, man, I had Arizona, and they got beat by Princeton, or I had Virginia going to the Sweet 16, and they got beat by Furman. And the reason that I tell you this is not to be rude, but it's to help you out, because nobody cares about your bracket. It's like your fantasy football team. And last night, I'm sitting there in conversation, and it's like, oh, my bracket. I turn on the midday show. Willie's, oh, my bracket's so bad. And Derek's taking a victory lap for being number one. Brackets. Oh, it drives me crazy. And I don't know if this is a me thing or if this is an everybody thing. But both talking about your fantasy football team and talking about your bracket are humongous pet peeves of mine. Now, I go back to the whole fantasy football thing, and maybe this is because I'm a sports guy. So people think, you know, the only way that they can make small talk is by talking about sports, even though I like talking about all kinds of stuff. I like talking about all kinds of things that aren't sports. You know, I mean, talk about politics. Talk about that. They don't want to talk about sports 24/7, but it's like people would come up to me sometimes and say, hey, who should I start this week? Hunter Henry or try to think of another tight end that's, you know, not a baller. Hunter Henry or Evan Engram, who should I start this week? I don't know, and I don't care. Like, I don't care. Who do I care about who you start on your fantasy football team? That's part of the reason why I don't play fantasy football. Part of it is because I just don't like the whole set your lineup and it's got to be set by this time. And now there's Thursday night football and there's, you know, draft at this time, everybody there. I don't care about any of that. I care about the real football that's being played. But it drives me crazy when people are like, who do I start this week at quarterback? Do I start Joe Flacco or do I start Andy Dalton? I don't care. And I think most people do not care about anybody else's fantasy football team. So I always tell people, it's like when people show their betting slips and they're like, oh, I had a parlay and I would have made $13 if this, I don't care. Now, if you would have made $13 million, then I might care. But $13, I'm not interested in that. And there is nothing that means less to me than your bracket or your bracket pool or anything bracket related. Oh, it drives me crazy. And the fact that Joe Rexroad thinks that, well, this year you should be allowed to talk about your brackets is so typical Joe. Now, this is going to be a wide open tournament. I've been saying that the whole time because there's no dominant team one way or another. But for Joe to be like, well, this year is special because we have upsets every year. That's the whole point of the tournament. All these Scarbini schools that nobody cares about, that, you know, no one will ever flip on a TV to watch, that you have to have an ESPN Plus account to see play, end up getting in a game against a good school, and then you don't have to watch the whole game. Like, you don't have to sit down to watch a game between Arizona and Princeton. You don't have to do any of that. You can just sit down and you can just turn it on and watch it with 2.5 minutes to go. Last night, I'm watching the UT game, and I thought that was one of the worst basketball games I have ever seen in my life. I thought both teams sucked last night, including Louisiana, who was allergic to both the basketball and the hoop. But I'm flipping to Northern Kentucky, who I've never seen play, and I know the play-by-play guy there. He's one of my mentors in all of this. And I've never watched Northern Kentucky play. I'm flipping to watch them play Houston because they might win. And then when Houston starts to pull away, I flip it back. That's what the tournament's about. The tournament's not about your bracket. Oh, bracket. Bracket challenge. I remember one time, there was one guy whose bracket I found fascinating. This was 2007. And George Mason made it to the Final Four. It was like George Mason, LSU, Florida, Joakim Noah, and all those guys, and I forget who the other team was that was in there. And they made it to the Final Four. And there was one guy out of like the 1.8 billion that did the ESPN, that did the ESPN bracket challenge. There was one guy who got all four Final Four teams right. And then he said that the reason why he got George Mason was because he thought it was George Washington when he hit connect. That's the only guy. I'm like, that is fascinating. Everything else, I don't care. I don't care about who you had in this game. And it made me realize yesterday, with all the people talking about their brackets and all the other people who don't care about everybody else's bracket, and I was thinking about how maybe in a different life, that maybe I could have found my way into a different profession. When did the bracket become a thing? We don't do this for any other sport ever. Nobody ever tells you, well, I had the Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals in my bracket. And the bracket is only a big deal for, what, 1 month? We don't talk about brackets in April. We don't talk about them in May, June, July. We don't sit around Thanksgiving and talk about who was in our Sweet 16. And what's the deal with everybody wanting to talk about their bracket for a two-week period? It's like people feel the need to tell you, well, I had them going to the Final Four and they lost in the first round. Congratulations to you. Nobody cares. and you know nothing about basketball. What could have been? What could have been? You know, I think Jerry, I've been told that Jerry Seinfeld has made like $1 billion. Like $1 billion off of like all the reruns of Seinfeld they've played. Let's sneak a quick phone in here. Zach is up next here on Stillman & Company. Thank you for calling On The Bracket. Go ahead, Zach.
Hey, actually, he didn't hear me right. It was actually Jack with a J.
Go ahead.
But that's okay. Yeah, I just want to tell you, man, you are 100% right.
I know
nobody
I am.
Nobody wants to hear people talking about their bracket. You know, I miss you all the time, and I expected to hear you saying, you know, why Virginia got their butts whipped yesterday, or why Xavier barely won today. But we don't really want to hear you talking about other people's bracket either.
Yeah, you know what? There's probably some truth there. Thank you for your call. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. If you want to weigh in. By the way, somebody texted in and said you care about mock drafts, Jared. Who cares? Let me just say this. They do that. There's this pro football focus thing. You can like do your own mock draft or whatever, and people put those up on the internet. I don't care about that either. But it is fun to do on my own. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Kevin Byard reportedly has asked for his release from the Titans. What we make of it, we'll reset that next. Stillman & Company live from the Rusty Nail out here in Hermitage. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.